Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She started her career as an interior designer. After building and selling a highly successful residential and hospitality design firm, in 2008, she was repeatedly approached by design professionals and architects alike to help them with their marketing and business development. Suddenly, a new business was born. Since then, her firm has grown to a dynamic group of brand designers and marketing experts who are passionate about helping design-minded brands exceed their goals, transform their brands, and evolve their businesses. From hospitality-driven experiential marketers to data-obsessed digital advertisers, her entire team is made up of design-savvy experts who know the industry, love their craft, and are fanatical about helping their clients grow. She's appeared in Boutique Design, Esquire, Hospitality Design, Access Hollywood, E! Entertainment, and Extra. She remains busy making the world more beautiful. Natalie Norcross, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Great to have you with us today, Natalie. Take us back and tell us the whole story. We want to hear all of it. What was it like when you fell in love with design? And then talk to us about this transition into sort of a new phase of your professional life.
Absolutely. Thank you. So happy to share with you today. So, you know, I really fell in love with design at an early age. At 8 years old, I kind of found myself rearranging my room every month and asking my father if he could, you know, help me move my bed and my dresser. And that, you know, love of art and crafts really inspired me. And I found a lot of joy in design. So after high school, I went to the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in downtown Los Angeles. And upon graduating, I worked for a design firm for about a year before starting my own firm. And I always knew that I really wanted to own my own business. My mom was an entrepreneur as well as my grandmother, and that really inspired me at a young age to have my own business. And so when I started our design firm, I really started doing model homes for builders, and it was a time when California real estate was really booming. So thankfully, I started out at a really great time and later went on to create a high-end residential division and a hospitality division, really doing projects all over the world. We did projects in Seychelles Islands, in Germany, and all across the U.S. And then in 2008, I sold my design firm. And, you know, after selling my firm, had several interior designers kind of reach out to me and ask if I could help them with marketing and business development. And so that's really how a design partnership was born. And since then, you know, we've been really enjoying just servicing the design community. Our agency is made up of brand designers and marketing experts who are really, you know, passionate and fanatical about achieving results for our clients. So our team consists of PR specialists, social media experts, email marketers, blog writers, website designers, you know, who are all really focused on delivering marketing results so that our clients can focus on building their design firms and we can focus on what we really love and are passionate about, which is marketing.
It's all about doing the thing that you love the most, right? And you're clearly loving this, the marketing end of the business right now, which frees up designers to do the thing that they're best at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Joseph Campbell in his book, you know, saying follow your bliss. And I think that that's really what I have found is when I had my design firm, what I loved doing the most was actually, you know, creating the marketing campaigns and the marketing plans. And I think that really helped to achieve success for our design firm. So it was kind of serendipitous and not necessarily in my plan, but just by following, you know, my bliss was able to now really do what we love and are really passionate about, which is, you know, marketing and helping other businesses take on their vision and their dream and make that a reality.
And so it sounds to me like you took the things that you did, was it rather naturally, or was that something that you studied and brought to your own business that you're now applying to other people's businesses?
Yeah, so I don't have a degree in marketing. It was something very natural. And I also believe that my mom, you know, kind of running her own business and marketing her business out of our home at a really young age helped to just, you know, instill that marketing fire and that, you know, passion of being able to, you know, create dynamic marketing systems. And so, you know, since then we are a pretty large team of marketing experts that really understand how to develop marketing ecosystems.
You used a word there that I think people often forget to associate with marketing. You called it marketing systems. It really is an intricate collection of different disciplines, different focuses that come together to make a marketing system and a marketing plan work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the challenges that we oftentimes, you know, run into in our work, and the most challenging part of our work, is really educating clients on the power of modern marketing and the idea that marketing is really a marathon. It's not a sprint. So we're consistently educating our clients on the importance of doing marketing, staying really consistent, and then doing it repeatedly for several years, you know, because marketing a business and building a strong, powerful brand is really a marathon.
That can be frustrating for some people, though, can't it?
Yeah, it really can. And thankfully, we love that, and we understand the process in terms of, you know, creating, 12-month marketing campaigns. And oftentimes, we have quarterly sprints. But, you know, it really is about creating, you know, a marketing campaign and a marketing plan and a strategy that aligns with your goals, but understanding that it takes a lot of, you know, repeat and consistency to really be able to build a solid foundation and a brand that is truly going to, you know, last long term.
Now, you just used a phrase that it's a marketing plan that makes your dreams or your goals realized. So without giving like too many of the company secrets away, if you start with someone's dream or vision for their company, how do you then work backwards to create or begin to create a marketing plan that's going to service that goal or vision?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of times in the beginning, when we're working with a client, we create a vision and a mission statement if they don't have one, because we really believe that a company or a group of people that are focused on the same vision with the same goal will achieve the same results. And so getting everybody really in alignment with what that goal and what that vision looks like for the company, usually that's like a 3 to 5 year vision. And then from there, we kind of tailor that back and create a, you know, full-scale marketing strategy in order to achieve those results. So typically, you know, we get really detailed in looking at the last 3 years' revenue, how the company has grown, where we saw peaks and valleys, and looking at history to kind of bring us forward. And then from there, we really create, you know, pretty dynamic strategies that are focused on the revenue goals that we have for the next 12 months. And then we kind of break that down from a year to a quarter, to a month, to a week, to a day, in order to really, you know, create a dynamic marketing strategy.
And so just so I'm clear, this is all funneled back to the bottom line of the business then, right? I mean, everything is tied to generating revenue for the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are a marketing agency that is focused on revenue goals. So a lot of times we have, you know, different clients come to us and say, are you a PR agency? Are you a social media agency? And we said, yes, we're all of that. But we really are a marketing agency that is focused on revenue and bottom line results.
It's a subtle shift, but it's an important one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, you have to be able to spend marketing dollars and understand what your ROI is and what that return on investment will achieve for the business. And so we really, you know, analyze that on a regular basis.
You are clearly a businesswoman. You've got an amazing design background, but I hear it in your voice. I hear it in the way you phrase things, that you've got a heart of a businesswoman. Was that something that you inherited from your mother and from your grandmother, or was this something that that you developed independent of their experience or their examples?
Great question. You know, I really believe that it started at a young age. My mom started her business in our home when I was 7 years old. And I think just seeing her drive and her passion and her, you know, working her business every day in our home really, you know, instilled entrepreneurial spirit in me from a young age, so much so that her mother also started her own business and, you know, ran it until her passing. And my mom actually has four sisters. So my grandmother had five daughters, and all of them own their own business, and they all had daughters. And so I have a lot of female cousins who also own their own business. And I have two sisters who own their own business. So I don't think you could survive in this family unless you were an entrepreneur.
I think, yeah, you'd be the lone duck there. But yes. But it speaks to the power and the importance of having strong role models for young girls who are growing up and need that kind of, you know, not just leadership, but example in front of them to say, you can do this too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think surrounding yourself with strong mentors, you know, who are aligned with what it is that you want to, you know, achieve in your life is definitely very impactful for, you know, personal growth and business growth.
Absolutely. Well, whatever you're doing, it seems to be working. So please keep it up. Okay.
Thank you. I will.
Now, when you think about the growth of the firm, you think about all the things that you do on a daily basis. What's the very best part of the work that you get to do right now, Natalie?
You know, the best part of the work that we are doing is really fulfilling our clients' dreams and vision for their company. You know, hearing our clients' excitement when we land a large feature in Rob Report, Forbes, or Architectural Digest that results in new clients for their business is really and truly the most fulfilling part of our work. Our entire team is, you know, truly motivated by helping our clients grow their business. And so, you know, we're running viral social media campaigns for brands that are targeting interior designers. And that has been really fascinating, on the flip side, to be working with brands who actually are, their target market is an interior designer. Mm-hmm. But it's been great to really see the power of modern digital marketing that we can, you know, really make a difference and impact brands and their businesses.
It is powerful what can be done on the internet these days.
Yes.
Says the man who's hosting a podcast on the internet.
Yeah.
Stating the obvious, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
It is. It's very, very exciting. Sometimes a little confusing, but then thank God we have people like you around who can, you know, point people in the right direction. Before we go move on too far, I want to take that coin of what it is that you love the most about what you're doing. And I want to flip it over because, you know, life is not always the things that we love the most. We have to slog through some of the challenges too. What's challenging about the work that you do, Natalie?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think the biggest challenge is really, you know, kind of educating our clients on the power of modern marketing and the idea that marketing is a marathon, which I kind of alluded to earlier. Sure. It's not really a sprint. So we're, you know, are consistently educating our clients on the importance of doing marketing, staying very consistent, and then doing it repeatedly for several years. Thankfully, with digital marketing, we can actually analyze what's working and what's not working in real time. So we're constantly, if not daily, weekly, and monthly, analyzing the statistics as to what is working. Whatever's working, we kind of put more energy into that. What's not working, you know, we can get rid of and move forward. So
sure.
The power of digital marketing is really great, unlike traditional marketing, where we can actually see in real time, you know, what's turning over results, what's turning over revenue, what's growing followers, and be able to analyze that data and those statistics quite frequently. The other challenge that we oftentimes have, at least with our industry, is that the importance of creating custom, your own branded content, or what we call, you know, content creation. So we developed in our agency a department called Content Creation Studio. And that's really where we're doing photo shoots and videography of our clients and our brands and creating their own branded content. So we might do for a social media program, a lifestyle photo shoot with a client where, you know, we go in and we take photos of them at their office in their studio, you know, maybe looking at floor plans or pulling color boards together, and, you know, really kind of tell the story. So the best way to tell the story in the modern digital market is to take a lot of photographs, take a lot of videos, of the brand so that you have your own branded content, that you can, you know, share through emails, in public relations. We use a lot of custom branded content as well as, in social media campaigns.
Mm. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
All good stuff. All very good stuff. Now, normally my next question directs our guest, who is often a designer, to talk to our listeners at home who are working to create beauty in their own homes. But today I'm going to shift it a little bit. I want you, Natalie, to talk to the designers who listen, because as it turns out, we have a large following in the design community. I want you to talk to the designers that are listening about marketing their businesses. What tips or mistakes would you like to see them avoid making as they move through the forest of marketing business today?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that I did on the residential side of our business, and I actually started this pretty early on in my career with my design firm, and it ended up being pretty successful. And I work with a lot of our residential clients on creating a program like this today. But one thing that we did is we really looked at all of the local charities and private schools in our area, in our city. And we reached out to them and asked them if we could donate a design consultation to their private school auction. And oftentimes they had a silent auction or they had a live auction. And what we would do is we would donate a $500 interior design consultation and would have our portfolio set out on the table and some marketing brochures and business cards. And we would leave that at the silent auction. And then people would go around the night of the auction and they would all bid on it. And at the end of the night, somebody had won the silent auction, which was great. But one thing that we found to even, you know, take it to the next level is we told each of the schools that not only do we want to give one design consultation away, but if you're doing a live auction, when you stand up at the end of the dinner and you're doing the live auction, there usually is one winner who, you know, gets the highest bid, who might be, you know, $200 bid. Instead, I would like to give everybody that bid a chance to receive a design consultation from us for that same price of $200. Mm. And oftentimes we got anywhere from 5 to 10 different design consultations for new clients. So it was a really great way for us to market our business, to, you know, stand in front of our target audience and be able to you know, come forward with a charity thought in mind. So we're giving back to our local community, we're giving back to our school. And then we also got a chance to meet with some great homeowners. And oftentimes those were our best residential projects.
What a great idea. And as you've pointed out earlier, by doing that consistently over time, you really do develop a reputation in those circles as being a company that gives back to the community.
Yes, absolutely.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn the tables on you just a little bit. Natalie, we've been talking about the business that you're involved in right now, but before all of that, you were a designer. So we want to know a little bit about the house that you currently live in. Do you have a favorite room in your house? And if so, can you tell us why?
Yes, absolutely. So our living room is actually my favorite room. My husband, Carson, and I have two little boys who are 6 and 3. And so our living room, you know, consists of everything from superhero wrestling matches to entertaining clients and guests. And it really is the heart of our home. And we just, you know, really love the fireplace and the nice, relaxing environment that it creates.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Can't beat that. Any room that has a fireplace is a winner, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
What would our listeners be surprised to find in your home, Natalie?
You know, most of our house is covered in light-colored beige relaxed Belgian linen, which is kind of surprising and sometimes scary. Raising two very active young boys, having, you know, light-colored upholstery throughout the house is oftentimes most people come in and say, whoa, you know, you have such light furniture for young kids, but it works for us. And I love the relaxed environment that, you know, cozy linen brings to a space. And it really allows us to come home at the end of the day and be with family in a really, you know, nice, comfortable environment.
Beautiful. Sounds marvelous. If you could pick one style or design hero who you've admired over the years, could be living, could be deceased, and you could spend an hour or so hanging out with them, who would you pick and why, Natalie?
That's a great question. You know, recently I've been reading Fast Company's new design publication, and wow, you know, they have some really interesting stories. But there was an article on the dark side of your design heroes, and they told this story about great design heroes being a part of the CIA and having, you know, very interesting political views. But the story that really had me laughing was about Le Corbusier. Outside of his interesting kind of political affiliations, he had a bad behavior as well. And he painted murals without any invitation inside and outside of Eileen Gray's house. And after Gray's former lover invited him to stay there. And so there's a documentary about the house speculated that he kind of did so out of jealousy for the house's design. And interestingly, it was actually those murals that saved the house from demolition, as they were considered valuable works from an artistic genius. So I just love kind of reading stories about the history of some of the most prolific and influential, you know, genius designers of our industry.
There are many of them out there. And as you point out, they are fascinating to learn about.
Yes.
Give us the very best. I guess we could go two ways with this. Let's go the best decorating advice first, and then I'm going to come back and ask you for the best marketing advice. Give us the best decorating advice you've ever heard, Natalie.
Yeah, so the best decorating advice that I really embody is less is more. I really love how simple that the Japanese live and really believe, you know, the less clutter and the less stuff you have, the more clear your mind and your life is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm really kind of inspired just by the simplicity of Japanese living. I think it's really interesting how, you know, simple and easy their design is.
Couldn't agree more. Now, give us the best marketing advice you've ever heard.
The best marketing advice I've ever heard or have ever given is persistence and patience. I think it's really important to be persistent with marketing, but also to be patient with marketing. And so I think, you know, just continually focusing on that persistence is really, you know, key to achieving success. But remembering to be patient because marketing has ups and downs and lows, highs and lows, peaks and valleys. And so persistence and patience are two words that I think are most important to embody when, you know, looking at marketing programs and achieving marketing results for your business or your brand.
Two words to probably have, I don't know, monogrammed on a pillow or something, right?
Yes, exactly. Or framed in your office.
Or framed,
or your wall, right. You can really focus on that. Yeah.
I love it. Well, so let's split this question again, as we've just done the previous one. What's a design trend that you're going to be happy to see go by the wayside?
DIY everything.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. I mean, when everything from, you know, lighting to toothbrush holders are DIY, it's really time to do a home cleanse. So I believe that design will turn away from easy and quick crafts toward, you know, artisanal work.
Mm, yeah. Nice. Same question, marketing this time. Is there a trend in marketing that you're going to be really glad to see go away?
I don't know if I'm glad to see it go away, but I know it's going away. Is print publications are on their way out. And so You know, we're seeing a lot of more digital publications and, you know, people being much more active on digital. We oftentimes have clients, you know, ask us, you know, regarding press, would we rather be in print or online? And I'm oftentimes saying, personally, if it was me and my business, I would rather be online, because a lot of times people can read an article, whether it's on their mobile device or their laptop or their computer, and be able to, you know, click right to your website from that article. And so a lot of times you're going to see a lot more website traffic, you're going to see a lot more backlinking, and peaks, you know, kind of turning over onto your website. And so, you know, we really see that trend more so, and especially over the next 5 to 10 years, I think we're going to, you know, see a lot less print and much more digital.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Let's do a hypothetical here. We pray it never happens, but should there be a fire at the house, loved ones, family, animals, all safe. But what's the one object in your home, Natalie, that you would risk the flames to save?
I would definitely have to say our grandfather clock that we inherited from my late grandmother last year. Might be hard to get that out quickly, but I'm sure I could find a way to save the grandfather clock. But yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Yes, sir.
good pick. Are you a reader? Do you love books, Natalie?
Love books. I read a book a month.
A book a month. Good for you. Give us a book recommendation, and you can pick from any category you want, but give us one that you just think should be on the bookshelf of everyone who's listening today.
Absolutely. There's so many great ones. One that I'm actually reading right now that I'm really inspired by is called Conscious Capitalism by the founder of Whole Foods. And it's a really empowering story to just kind of see how businesses can influence and impact their employees and how that translates to impacting the world and the people who encounter your business and work with you. So the book has been really insightful and so heartwarming to hear the Whole Foods journey of success and how they really focused on consciousness and developing their employees and their team members, which they don't call them employees, they actually call them team members. And it's just been very motivating to see how good business can impact and make a change in the world.
That sounds like a good read indeed. We'll post a link to, Conscious Capitalism, the story of Whole Foods, in the show notes section so that our listeners can click on that, add it to their library. Something tells me they'll be very grateful to you for that recommendation. Thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome.
Down to the last question. You ready for this one, Natalie?
Yeah.
All right. We end every show with the same question, so I'm going to paint a little picture for you and then get your thoughts. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Great question. I love this one. I would, you know, typical, I go straight to the designer's mind in terms of I'd lay out a floor plan of the house, make a list of all the items that I needed or wanted to be put in the house. And then I would put a budget next to each item that I needed. And start to prioritize with my $1,000 budget what would be most important to start with. And thankfully, because I have my laptop, I would go online and start shopping on my laptop. I really love online shopping. And thankfully today, there are so many wonderful online sources that you can buy, you know, directly from manufacturers to the trade at designer pricing. Of course, if you're an interior designer. So it's great.
I love a person with a plan. So anyone who starts that project with a floor plan, you've got my attention there. It can only be a success from there, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Natalie Norcross, what a great joy to get to speak with you today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure speaking with you as well.
Thank you. We want to say thank you to our subscribers who are tuning in at home. We realize that none of this means anything if it weren't for you. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing news about the show with your friends and helping us to grow. Bounce over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Natalie's website so you can learn more about all of the work that she does with her clients. We will also post a link to that wonderful book that she's recommended, Conscious Capitalism. Click on that link, add that to your library, enjoy that read. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.